Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8, you shall receive power. 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 Dunamis. Power. Power. Might. You shall receive might when the Holy Spirit, an enabling power, shall come upon you. That coming upon you is the idea to come upon you, to influence you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's what we see. The outline of the book of Acts takes that same process, begins in Jerusalem, spreads into Judea, spreads to Samaria, and then it goes to the ends of the earth to get to the center of the world at that time, Rome. And we said that the book of Acts continues because it's the Acts of what the Spirit is doing in the body of Christ. What Jesus began to do and teach, He is continuing to do and teach in His body. So as we study these things and as we look at them, there are going to be some things in the book of Acts that are prescriptive, to us. And there are some things that are going to be descriptive. They're just describing what took place and how it took place, not necessarily prescribing on how we are to do things. And then there's going to be times in it that we see that we need to position ourselves like they did. We need to be in humble adoration as they were. And all that's going to be accumulation of what we're taught in the Gospels, what we're taught in the Epistles, what we taught throughout the Word of God. But for an example, let me show you, it's not a prescriptive thing for us to cast lots, right? We don't cast lots today. He's just describing what they did. Why did they cast lots? Because that was part of how they would determine. They would surrender that to God, cast the lot, and whatever the lot fell, they believed God controlled the lot, and that's where it pointed to, and that was God's will. God was in control of that. But when the Spirit came and began to lead them from within, there was no more casting lots. They took their cues and leadership by what God gave them. Why? Because remember, the Holy Spirit, what's that? A lot would be something like they would cast, very similar to like dice that would have an indicator on what was what and point to. If it had a certain number on it or a certain character on it, and whatever these characters fell on and pointed to, whatever they added up to, this person or that person, like flipping a coin. Say if you flip the coin in a football game, they flip the coin, they call it, whatever it falls, heads or tails, they would say that was fair on both sides. You both had an opportunity on it. Well, when they would cast these lots in that day, the lot would fall, and they believed as they surrendered that lot to God that God would control that, and that would be His will for whoever it fell upon. And that's what they did for the apostle who would take over for who? Judas. Remember, Judas, who was really not, he was part of them, but he wasn't of them. And there was a replacement there. And what lot, whose lot did it fall on? Matthias. And what was the prerequisite for this man to be a quote unquote apostle? What was it? That he had to be around, that he had to see what Jesus did. He had to be a testifier, a witness to the resurrection. You see, all people who are ever been set apart by an apostle, that was a prerequisite. They had to see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So in our modern day, those who claim to be apostles, we know they disqualified, one, because there is no need for apostles from that sense, apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've covered this on many different occasions thus far, so I don't think we have to just keep going over it again. There is a difference between being an apostle of Jesus, one sent by Jesus with a mission, and an apostle of the church, one sent by the church with the mission to go proclaim Jesus. There are apostles of the churches. We're apostles of the churches. That is, we've been sent. We're sent. When we go out being sent from Briggs Chapel under the authority of the church at Briggs Chapel under the body of Christ. We see that in the book of Corinthians. the church is the glory of God, and the church sent out apostles that represented the church in the mission that was representation of Jesus' body, but they went with the authority of the church that was an apostle. But not an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was reserved for only those who knew of His ministry, who watched Him do what He did upon the earth, and witnessed His resurrection. That is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see, I mean, they even say it. How does he read it here? Look in chapter number 1, verse number 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether. The number of them was about 120. And he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." Now, this man purchased the field, and he goes on and tells about his life, what happened as a result. Verse 21 says, "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among" who? Us, the apostles, who went in and out among us as the people of God, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his" what? Which that is what the church did. They were witnesses of the resurrection, which pointed back to the Christ of the resurrection, which pointed back to the cross of the resurrection, which pointed back to the anointed one for the reason of the cross. So all that was just hands on hands on hands, layer upon layer and layer of grace. But they had to be a witness of these things to qualify. So what did they do? They proposed to Joseph, called, how do you say that, Barsabbas, who was also surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and they submitted it and said, "O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, Paul comes in later. Remember, Jesus showed himself to Paul. And Paul even says, I'm one born out of time, out of season. I'm the last of the apostles," he even makes reference of. Under the influence of the Spirit, which we have as authorized Word of God. So when anybody will argue with you and try to make a point to you that they also rank in there with the Apostle Paul, they're disqualifying what Paul said himself under the inspiration of the Spirit and authority of the Word, for whom said he was born out of season and he was the last and the least of all the apostles. So there's no need for them today. But we don't see people casting lots for this anymore. Why? Because God gives, by way of His Spirit, discernment. God gives way by His Spirit. He gives us direction. So we don't see this anymore happening. So this is not a prescriptive way of doing things. It's just Acts is describing what the apostles did in that day to come up with that 12th apostle. So some things in the book are going to be prescriptive for us that we can see, yes, this is how we're to function. This is what we're to do. This is how we're to proclaim. This is our message. This is our aim. For an example, this message should be preached in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and what? The other end, that's descriptive. I mean, prescriptive for us. Excuse me, prescriptive. Not only did it describe why they did what they did, but it's a prescription for us too. That's our aim, to be witnesses, clothed in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is not only our comforter, the Spirit is not only our counselor, but the Spirit is also the convictor. He's the one who must convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what the Spirit does. See, but the Spirit needs to speak to us and through us for that conviction of the gospel to come upon people so that they recognize that it's not what they're doing in life, it's what they're not believing, and what they're not believing is Jesus. For Jesus, everything centers around Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we see Peter preach. Every time Peter preached, what did he preach? Man, he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. Every time he preached. And we're going to find that throughout Acts, that they preach Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when God performs a miracle and a wonder and a sign, that is one, to authenticate His messengers, to authenticate their message, and to authenticate the message of the gospel. That's what it's for. So when the man's lame feet was healed, that was to authenticate Peter and John. So people would see and hear what they had to say. And what did they do? They took no glory in it whatsoever. Said, this, Jesus is the one who did this. And this is the same Jesus you crucified. This is the same Jesus God gave us to be our salvation as a prophet. So, and they pointed back to Jesus. And what happened? People were saved. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit convinced them of their unbelief and that they needed to place their faith in Jesus Christ and that He is the one who is righteous, that He has judged this world, and this world is under condemnation, everything and all things in it, and that He is the standard by which God will judge all things. And people put their faith in Him as a result of God performing the miracle. We're going to read tomorrow in Acts chapter 4, that after they threatened the disciples and they went back, what was the first thing they did? They gathered back together and told them what the elders and the priests and all did to them. And immediately they cried out to God's sovereignty and said, God, You are the ruler of all. We ask in You to give Your witnesses boldness. We ask in You to authenticate that witness with miracles and wonders. We ask in You to do that. You hear their threats. You see what they... Look in chapter 4. Let's see how they prayed this. Look in chapter 4. It'd be a treat. How many... Anybody read it thus far? You just kind of went on into chapter 4. If not, you're going to be blessed by it. Now look in verse number 23. 4:23. And this is exact... All this that we're reading, when you get into chapter 4 tomorrow, along with what we see in chapter 3, remember what Jesus told the disciples in Luke 21. He said, look, there's going to come a point in time in your journey that people are going to reject you. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to put you in jail. Don't try to get out. You didn't get there because you did anything wrong. You got there because I'm putting you there for a testimony. I'm putting you there for a witness. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to premeditate a defense to get yourself out of it. I put you there as a testimony. It will turn out for a testimony. So settle in your heart before it ever happens that this, you are mine and you are my witness, and I'm going to put you in uncomfortable, unpredictable places, and I'm going to use it though, because I'm going to use you in it, and I am going to speak through you when you get in those places. One gospel says my Father is going to speak through you. Another gospel says the Spirit's going to speak through you. Another gospel said I'm going to speak through you. Why? Because we're dealing with the Godhead, and when the Godhead works, they all work together. They never not work together. They all work together in everything they do. So when the Spirit of God is at work, Jesus is at work. And when Jesus is at work, the Father is at work. That's basically saying God is at work. And that's what we see in these situations, that they didn't try to get out of it. They wasn't trying to fix it. They took the opportunity, because they were filled with the Spirit, and just proclaimed Jesus. They just gave them what the Spirit gave them to give. But in verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company, their own companions. They went to the brethren, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders said to them. So when they heard, that is the company, the brethren, when they heard that, what did they do? They raise their voice to God with one accord, in one mind, unanimous. And they said, Lord, You are God. That's basically saying, You are God, they are not. You are God, we are not. No matter what they tell us, no matter what they say to us, no matter what threats they throw on us, You are the living God. They're not. And we submit to You. Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and sea and that all that is in them. You've made them. You've made us. Who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, Why in the world do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth have taken their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. It's a vain thing to go against God, ain't it?
Amen.
They pulling out of truth. What? They're under the influence of God's leadership, under the influence of the Spirit. They're grabbing truth from the Word of God out of the book of Psalms, out of Psalm 2, verse 27. It says, For truly against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever Your hand and Your purpose determined beforehand to be done. They said, you know what? Ain't no different right now. If they did that to Him and we are His body, we believe what's happening right now has been determined by You as well. You see, that's that open hands to God. That's that, I trust You. I trust that You at work in this. You using this. We're not threatened by this. We're not in fear of this. You are at work. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Take notice. You see it. And at the same time, what did He ask them to do? And grant to Your servants that with what? All boldness they may speak Your... You see, they threatened and told them, don't ever mention the name of Jesus again. Don't speak His word no more. Be quiet. They didn't like them teaching about Jesus. They didn't want them to teach about Jesus. They told them to shut up about Jesus. Told them, don't be doing that anymore. And now they're asking God to give them what? Boldness. Boldness to stand on the authority and speak the word of God. Verse 30, by stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. Authenticate it, Lord, Your messengers with these signs and wonders so that Your message will be listened to and people will see You. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Oh, the presence of God rattled the cages. Amen.
Amen.
And they were all full with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now the multitudes of those who believe were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say he had anything that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch this word. And mega or great grace was upon them all. Man, we Brother Shannon,
yeah.
You hear that now. That's a descriptive word, but I think we find some prescriptions in there of how they humbled themselves before God. They honored Him. They submitted to Him. They prayed to Him. They were positioned for Him to do this mighty work. And we need this great grace upon us. We need this mega grace on our life that we understand who is God. And we understand who's not. And we understand what He's doing. And why He's doing it. And we asking Him to authenticate and affirm His messengers so that the message would go forth in the sweet name of Jesus with the ultimate end for God to be glorified and men to be delivered. Men to be set free. Men to be set free. This wasn't about them. They didn't make it about them. It was obvious. They made this about Jesus. And that's how these witnesses live, being full of the Spirit of God. So, what a great picture that we glean of these men and how they lived and breathed and walked in the authority and the power of God. Go back to chapter number 2. Look back in chapter 2. And what we find, we see this shift taking place. Remember, the Jews, they made everything about the temple, didn't they? The temple, 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 temple. It was all about that temple. They wanted that temple. That temple represented everything. Remember when God destroyed that temple back in the day? And He sent His people over into Babylon, and He sent the prophet Ezekiel, and He said, look, I'm fixing to destroy the temple, I'm going to destroy the walls, I'm going to destroy the people, and I don't want you to cry about it. Because you're more concerned about that temple than you are living rightly before Me. And that's never been what it's about. And when God established His presence upon something and put His name upon it, as He did with the tabernacle, as He did with Solomon in the temple, of where He would rest His presence upon, what we see is now that Jesus came to tabernacle among us. In the Gospels, the Spirit reveals to us that He's coming to live within people. And I'm the temple of God now. Amen. My body's the temple where God dwells. And He lives within me by way of the Holy Spirit. And when those fire of divided, diverse, flickering tongues sat above them, it was taking us back to a few pictures. Go back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 16, before we go tonight. Look in Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16:9 says, "You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time that you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks," that's the Pentecost, 50 days, "to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, and you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall" what?
"Rejoice."
"Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants and your female servants, the Levite who is within your gates, the strangers and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name" what? "There abide. And you shall always remember that you were" what? "A slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." We were a slave to sin, but because of our Passover lamb, He set us free. In Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, God has chosen to place His name upon His people, upon His church, upon His bride. Look in Numbers. Go back to Numbers chapter 9 real quick. Numbers 9. Look in 15. And we're going to see something. And then I'll give you just a couple other passages to jot down by those. And you can look those up at another day. Look in Numbers 9, 15. Same thought process in regards to the tabernacle or the place. You can find things in Exodus 34 and Leviticus 23. But verse 15 of Numbers 9 says, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from the evening until the morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of
fire."
That's where God chose to place His name. "So it was also the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents." Remember that building your altar and pitching your tent never changed for them. That was still supposed to be the order. Build your altar, pitch your tent, wherever that may be. "And the cloud by day and the fire by night was a guide. When God would move the cloud, they would move. When God would move the fire, they would move. But when they inaugurated that tabernacle tent meeting, when that cloud went above it, it appeared of an appearance of fire." Just like when God poured out His Spirit upon His people that day, the Scripture says there were cloven tongues, diverse tongues, flickering tongues of fire that sat above them, validating that where God was placing His presence upon, where His tabernacle would be what? In men, to proclaim His message to the world. Exodus 34, Leviticus 23, or just dealing with the feast and what it was set up for and why they did it the way they did it. And remember, the Passover, unleavened bread, the first fruits, and Pentecost were all shadows of something that would come to pass in a later day in a fulfillment. So what we're reading through right now in Acts, especially in chapter 2 with Pentecost, is not going to ever be repeated, just like Passover wouldn't, like crucifixion or the resurrection. But being filled with the Spirit is something that we see repetitively again and again and again and again throughout the book of Acts and throughout the people of God. Why? Because we always need to be filled and filled again and again to do the work of the witness of God for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
So that God would make His message known, affirm His messengers, people would receive it, and God would rescue people and turn them to Himself. So just neat things to look for as you journey in life. You're looking for that in your walk. When you're witnessing the people on the streets, you're looking, you want to be filled full of God, proclaiming God's message. You're looking how they welcome the Word. And then you're looking for evidence of how they turn in to God and turn in from themselves. And it's not about what they've been doing. It's not about their transgressions. It's about how they've dealt with Jesus. How they dealt with Jesus. For the convictor, the Spirit, will convince them of their unbelief that they have not trusted Jesus with their life. Jesus took care of their sins. Took care at the cross, took care of what the problem with the sins and what they've been doing. The problem is they hadn't believed Him. You see, for salvation, you got to believe Him. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, trust Him. He's the prophet from whom God sent and that we're to hear. So it's important for us to see that when they turn to Jesus, the evidence of that's going to follow. And you'll be able to recognize it and see it and give glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we've been called to do. We are His witnesses. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank You tonight. We bless You. We praise You. Thank You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of being Yours. Getting to tell this story again and again. And to retell it, to repackage it, to rearrange it with different times and different seasons and different people. But always bringing it back to You and what You've done, the life You lived, the righteousness that You grant to us based on Your grace, Your mercies toward us, because You loved us and You laid Your life down for us. Help us go tell the story, preaching it, and teaching it, and living it. We do ask that You would continue to affirm Your witnesses so that Your witnesses would just continue to point people to You. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.